Welcome, Pathfinders, to the Find the Path Ventures actual play of the Tales from Darkmoon Vale, Part 2, Crown of the Kobold King.
Now with Sparky Lizards.
It's a real Pokemon episode.
I'm telling you, Lightning Lizards really rolls off the tongue.
We're here with some electric new content. We're hoping you like it.
And Darkmoon Vale, Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The Electric Boogaloo has taken hold in Falcon's Hollow.
I'm sure there's a dance called the Lizard.
What even would that dance be?
It's where you find a warm rock and you lay on it.
Yeah. It's called tanning.
Hey, that's a dance I could totally do.
Yeah, that's a very friendly dance.
With my three left feet, I can still do that.
Well, now we're definitely going to ask you why you have 3 feet.
Well, one, he just took off a guy.
This used to belong to a dude.
This is my improvised weapon.
Reminds me of a quote from a Discworld novel, actually, where it's Nobby had the body of a 25-year-old, but nobody knew where he kept it.
Yeah. Ross with the novel reference.
Yes. Yeah.
A full novel, not a short story.
My librarian powers are many and manifold. However, when last we left off with Foxtrot Squadron, they had a chance to enter in a dwarven ossuary in the search of Barliss, a friend of Edgren's. Maybe a Fireforged friend is more appropriate, as the two of them really hadn't had any contact with each other until they were both captured by kobolds and held for the ritual sacrifice or some nonsense. They weren't really quite sure why they were being held, but they did let you know that there are actually quite a few people down there, at least three more that they're aware of. Two you were aware of, and a third you weren't. You had entered the ossuary, fought a number of glowing skeletons. Fortuitously, they were glowing with magic and not radiation. And while they did manage to throw their skulls at a couple of you, damaging, I think, both Astraea and Celestine pretty heavily.
Yeah, they messed me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not fun.
Yeah. But after throwing their skulls at you, you had managed to dispatch all of them and save Barliss, who had been at the rear of the ossuary near a shrine to Megrim, the dwarven taskmaster, I believe, is usually their epithet.
The taskmaster, yes. I do want to mention, I really appreciate them not just defaulting to, it's a shrine to, I guess, Droskar, because this whole place has a bunch of shrines to Droskar, and actually pulling in the Dwarven God of the Dead.
Somebody did their homework.
That was actually an addition of mine, because they didn't actually say who it was to initially.
Oh, well. But I applaud you, Ross, for making it, Mogrim the Taskmaster.
Absolutely. But I felt it was appropriate in an ossuary.
That's fair.
Yeah. That said, though, after saving Barliss, you'd had a chance to patch up, talk things over, and decided that it was probably best to take the two, both Barliss and Edgren, above ground to protect them from the kobolds through distance, and saving them by putting them in the local watchtower, pretty much right by the monastery. Yeah. While their accommodations are not great, it is definitely far safer than being down in a dungeon full of kobolds and gelatinous cubes and gods know what else. I mean, plenty of stuff down here. From there, you had then decided to continue onward, actually pressing on into the evening, hoping to get through more of the first level of this place, and decided to go down the central passage that you had eschewed earlier from the front chamber. You had approached a sulfurous, hot springs-seeming fountain, and unfortunately, until the very last moment, did not notice that said fountain was also the home of a pair of lizards who started to crackle with electrical power the moment that you had approached them.
Yep, they sure did.
Well, dang it.
Believe we will be picking it up there. So I'm going to need initiative from the party.
Okay.
No. What did we just say? No.
I mean, you can just choose to be killed by these things.
You can choose to take zero.
definitely not doing that.
I mean, that's up to you. I will give you the option. Clove, what did you get?
Clove rolls a nat 20 for a 27.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice. Clove is ready to go. All right, next, Amaranth.
On the other side of the spectrum, Amaranth rolls a 4 for an 11.
Ooh, not so great, but that's all right. And from there, Celestine.
Celestine rolls a 17 for a 25.
Also very good. Well done. And then Astraea, what did you get?
Unfortunately, I only got a 4 for a 12.
Yeah, down there near Amaranth, huh? That's all right. And finally, Grim.
Keeping up my low initiative rolls with an 8 for a 13.
Oof. All right. Well, you know what they say, though. Slow and steady wins the race, right?
I mean, that is a classic dwarven saying. We do respect the mighty turtle. Most armored of all animals.
Oh, my God.
Second only to the armadillo. No.
A walking fortress, as you were.
And also likes a good strawberry.
Sure. Much like dwarves.
And from there, let's go on ahead and kick this off, shall we? Clove, you have first initiative.
Oh, man. Clove gets to go first?
Absolutely.
So, Clove is going to see if she knows anything about these lizards.
Okay. Recall knowledge. This will be nature.
All right. So, Clove recalls knowledge, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, you can never be too sure.
Well, okay. Clove is going to kind of slowly approach a lizard a little bit. Can I try to calm down a lizard? Is that a nature check that I could make to be like, calm down, friend?
There's a nature check that you can make, but it's really only for domesticated animals.
Yeah, there is command an animal, but they have to be...
To be able to influence wild animals, you usually have to...
Can I try to scare an animal?
I mean, you can. Animals don't understand speech, but...
Try to demoralize it.
So if you have intimidating glare...
Yeah?
I'm just going to try to scare it away, I think is what I'm thinking.
Very well.
Scare away where?
I don't know. Clove doesn't want to kill a cute animal, okay?
Clove will be singing a different tune when she gets damaged.
Yes, she will sing differently.
Yeah, so with a single action, you can use a intimidation check to demoralize, but you couldn't make them run away, necessarily.
Well, demoralizing, it's the same thing in my brain.
Also, I believe demoralize is, if you don't speak the language, it's a -4.
Yes, it is a -4 penalty. Yeah. You can still try it.
Yeah, I'm yelling and being big, you know, like that trick you do with some types of bears. Except they're lizards, I don't know. Because Clove doesn't want to hurt the cute lizards until the cute lizards hurt her. But she rolls absolutely bad. A 2 with a -4 penalty is a -2. How does that
do? Oh, no. And she thinks you're really cute.
Wow.
Yeah, you're just like, so cute.
The lizard continues to gather electricity, seemingly unfazed by your movements.
Well, you know, I did my best.
From there,
that's
Celestine.
It. That's what Clove would do.
Do you mind? Right. I believe you do get surprise attack on these because you were using stealth for initiative.
Yes. So Clove didn't know anything about them, right? She tried, but...
Didn't. No, I didn't know anything.
All right.
Nope.
I'm going to try to recall knowledge on the weird electric lizards.
Very well.
These are shocker lizards. The more they are, the more dangerous they are. They have an electrical attack that they can amplify the more of them are present.
Oh, lovely. Hopefully there's just the two.
Yes.
Celestine will then take a 5-foot step in front of Clove and will strike at the shocker lizard with her short sword. I roll a 1. So that's the end of my turn.
Yeah, with
dang.
Natural 1, unfortunately, your sword just skitters across their tough hide, unable to find any sort of penetration. As we go to... the first shocker lizard, who begins to gather electricity, as already all of you can feel the hairs on your head, and Grim's case on his beard, begin to just rise and kind of pull in the general direction of the first lizard.
These lizards are very negative right now.
The second lizard, who also begins to charge gathering electricity, as they will release their electrical bursts simultaneously.
Oh, these negative Nancys.
Yep. I will need a reflex save from Celestine, Clove, and Grim.
Ooh. All right.
Clove rolls a 3 for a 9.
Celestine rolls a 6 for a 16.
Okay.
Grim's looking at a 6 for an 11.
Okay. That's...
Gonna hope that that's not a critical failure, but let's find out.
In Grim's case, no. Mm. In Clove's case, yes.
No.
Celestine, unfortunately, also fails to get out of the way. As their electrical attacks combine, this could be bad.
Ooh. Ooh.
Sweet
Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. Retreat.
That is
28
points of damage. Clove actually takes... Double
because it's
critical. You take double of that.
It's a critical
You're
failure.
Down.
Yeah.
I think Celestine's down too because I'm at zero.
Yep. So Celestine, you're at dying one.
That was a critical, so I am dying too.
Holy
actually.
Heck.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I have
68. That's too much. Oh
my Fortunately, God. I'm not down. I am at 2 hit points though. So.
Wow.
That was a heck of a hit.
Holy crap. How long have they been charging?
The whole time we've been here.
The entire time until we showed up, they had their little tails stuck into a plug.
I know.
Off to the side.
Yeah, seriously. They're definitely like draining the power grid here.
Grim, it is your turn.
That's a heck of an opening act.
Grim, I guess, rocks back against the wall. Stay back! Kind of waves Amaranth back further away from these things. Since Amaranth was just out of that range.
Definitely don't need to tell me twice. Good gracious.
Oh, All right, Clove's at dying two.
I sure am.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, crap. My options here are limited.
Yeah.
All right, so step one, Grim will take... God, there's just not enough actions to do this. Step one, Grim will take a 5-foot step. Step two, Grim will go ahead and try to get Clove back on her feet with a quick lay on hands.
Fair enough. Yay.
So that's going to give Clove 6 hit points.
All right.
In addition to that, it will give you the bonus for lay on hands. Usually we use this outside of combat, so it doesn't come up that often. You gain a +2 status bonus to your armor class in case it decides to attempt to attack you. So that will help. That'll at least negate the flat-footed for being on the ground.
True.
My God, okay.
Yeah. So Grim like leans down, places a hand on Clove, channels energy into her, just kind of lightly, quickly like pats her on the side of the face. All right. Don't take offense to this, but we don't need you right now.
Oh, God.
We need the other one. We need the angry one right now as he turns back to the fight.
Well, he's just like looking at you like dazed.
Like, I'm alive now.
Get angry.
Yay.
On my turn, I will be angry. This is true.
And you do lose the dying condition. You do go to wounded one, but you know, again, you're not dying anymore, so that's good.
I'll take it.
I don't have a bead on the one to the right anymore. He's on the other side of the fountain.
Yeah,
so the one that's
cover.
Looming over Celestine, I'm going to go ahead and just throw my axe at and
very well
hope for some sort of ridiculous critical that kills it in one hit. Let's see what happens.
That would be nice.
That is a 27 to hit, though.
Hey!
With a 19.
A 19 for a 27 will strike your target. It is not a critical, but it does hit.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's only 4 points of damage. That's minimum.
As your axe flies end over end, slicing into the creature's side as it hisses, the shocker lizard zaps at it, but it's already flying back to your hand by the time it starts.
Unfortunately, other than recalling my hand axe back to me, that's it for Grim.
All right.
Oh, this next
From
turn
there,
is not looking good.
Astraea.
I don't know if I want to get in here, but I think I need to.
Yeah.
I'm going to run up on the other one that's to the right of the fountain.
All right.
Run some interference.
Yeah. And I guess I'm going to stab at it.
All right. Going ahead and swing out to the attack.
That'd be an 8 for a 19.
A 19 strikes your target as your blade swipes into it.
That would be for 4 points of damage.
You pierce the lizard's thick hide in front of it as it bleeds from the wound, hisses and snarls and draws back a little bit. Still has plenty of fight left in him, though.
All right.
You know one action.
Let's just go for another one. Let's see if I can get it again. Hey, that's a 19 for a 26.
Ooh, a nice. 26 will also hit your target. Go ahead and roll your damage
around
again.
That critical.
Yeah.
No, I always
near
am.
It.
That'd be 4 points of damage.
The lizard rocks back as you ram your blade into it a second time, as sparks actually fly up your blade, kind of stinging your arm slightly, though not really hurting you. These things are odd.
Well, yeah, well, this is a word for it.
Amaranth.
Okay, I need to pull Celestine out of the range of these explosively shocking lizards, because that was terrible. How might one do that? I believe I'm going to have to...
Am I unconscious because I'm at 0 hit points? I've never been dying.
You are unconscious.
You're dying. You're dying.
Yep, you're dying. You're on the ground. You have dropped everything that you were holding. Yeah, of course, you still have the grasp of Droskar.
Yeah, that's going to help.
You sure do. That's not going away.
Don't worry. You still
might
have
help. That's probably why it got you so bad, is that thing was just like conducting.
Yeah, true.
The bulk of a creature is 6.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter because I could only take 4 bulk without being encumbered.
You can drag someone and their bulk counts as half.
True.
Okay. So she would only count as 3 bulk if you were just running over there. You're not going to fireman carry her out of here, but you could grab her and then drag her out.
Like, that's fine.
Mm. I need fan art of Amaranth trying to drag Celestine out of here.
It's just sweat droplets everywhere.
But yes, I would like to drag Celestine out of the range of fire here.
So you could stride, pick up, basically hold on to her with an action.
We want to drag her all the way out of the room.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, basically stride up next to Clove. Stride over Clove, grab Celestine. Good to see that you're back with us. And then just pulls her out.
Very well.
She's so blinkly, like blinking.
You should be able to pull her, basically next to you. You could actually move again another stride action, pulling her along for your normal speed, I believe.
Okay.
As long as the 3 bulk doesn't put you over your...
No, because that would put me at 4 bulk, and I'm encumbered at 5.
Okay.
So, yes, I drag her out like we're under, you know, a firefight, and it's freaking Saving Private Ryan over here.
Yeah,
well,
so you move.
I am not in a good place.
No joke.
So from the corner, where are you moving back to?
Let me move back. I don't think these lizards are going to move, but I'll move back 1 square further than I am and have her next to me.
Very well. So you basically run in, grab Celestine, pull her along the length of the fountain before pulling her back into the short hallway that you'd come in from. You're at the edge of the intersection now, standing next to her as she is still bleeding out, but at least out of the line of fire.
Yep. Unfortunately, I believe that was all of my actions.
That is all 3 of your actions.
They were
yes.
worthy actions. Don't act like they didn't mean nothing.
Yep.
True.
Celestine gets to live another day.
Mm.
Just so, again, getting into rules minutia here.
Mm-hmm.
It
Rick,
does
don't
state
kill me.
Under dragging that you move slowly while doing so, typically 50 feet per minute.
Mm.
It doesn't specify anywhere exactly what slowly means. Apparently, there are 2 interpretations of this. One interpretation is that you reduce your movement speed by 10 feet.
Mm.
Okay.
Which is the, I guess, generous interpretation. The not so generous interpretation is if it says, usually when you're moving 1 action to move every round, which means that if you're dragging someone, you drag them at 5 feet per action.
Mm.
Although at that point, I wonder whether or not it would be easier for Amaranth to just pick her up because his encumbered movement...
Mm-hmm. It'd still be faster, yeah.
It would be faster than dragging, because if my understanding is correct for encumbered movement, it is 10 feet as well.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and go with, let's go with that. So go ahead and pick her up, and then you can just move with her.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the only difference of dragging her is it requires both hands, and if you're saying that it's a minus 10-foot penalty to his movement speed, he's at least not getting clumsy 1, which is what you get for
that's true.
Being encumbered.
Yeah, you know, I'll go ahead. I'll go with the generous interpretation for now. We can
thank
look it up
you,
again
Ross.
Later. But,
yes, thank you, Ross.
We'll revisit this another time, but I think for now we'll go with that.
Okay.
So
seems fair.
Yeah. I think it's fine. So you drag Celestine with you. Yeah, slowing down some because it is awkward to basically be dragging one of your allies without trying to like hurt her further or do something, you know, worse to her.
She's only 140 pounds. It's not like you're trying to drag Grimm away or something like that.
I was going to say 140 pounds plus, like, what's your bulk?
What is my bulk?
Of your stuff.
But I mean, if it doesn't matter towards my weight,
it
so,
doesn't.
You know.
Although she is carrying almost 7 bulk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Wait, you're carrying like almost 7
What
bulk?
Are you carrying that's so heavy?
Man, he just called you a cow.
I don't know what is so heavy, to be honest.
I'm carrying
4. My leather armor's 1. Oh, it's my curve blade. My curve blade is 2 bulk.
Wow, that's a big blade.
Yeah, well, big old sword. But from there, we go from Amaranth to the shocker lizard that is standing over by Astraea. At this point, there's only actually 1 person in its burst radius. Grimm was in the other one's burst radius. So it will attempt a shock attack against Astraea. This is actually a ranged attack, which means that Astraea does get to make an attack of opportunity.
Oh, I will take said attack of opportunity.
I mean, unfortunately, it has a range increment of 5 feet, so it has to be next to you to do this.
That would be a 17 for a 28.
A 28 not only hits, but criticals.
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. Lizard.
Oh, well, that's very sad. That was only 2 points of damage.
You stab shallowly into the creature's neck, again drawing blood, but not really doing much.
That's
striking.
Sad.
We gotta get you a striking rune.
As the chakra lizard tries to zap you. Ooh, this might do it. 23 to hit Astraea.
Yeah.
All right. That is 5 points of electricity damage that courses through you.
Still better than 68.
True. You are still standing, however.
Indeed I am.
As you should be.
Maybe not for long, judging by what he's about to do to me.
It will attempt to bite at you. It also didn't like the fact that you know, got that attack of opportunity, though it doesn't know that, or it didn't know that you could do that. That is a 19 hit Astraea the second time.
On the nose.
Ooh.
Where's that bard? Oh, dang.
I don't think you could help your armor class. that is 6 points of damage as the creature chomps onto you.
You know, it's probably a good thing we didn't just immediately come to this room first.
I can't draw. Is it getting cover from the fountain, or is it?
It is getting full cover. It is not getting full cover. Okay. They are described as basically being the size of like medium sized dogs or so. So, okay.
Would you argue that I could see enough of it to strike?
You can try to strike. It will get cover against the strike.
I will call upon the power of Torag, yell out to Torag to shield you, and go ahead and throw in my retributive strike to go ahead and knock 4 points of damage off the damage that Astraea just took.
There we go.
And so since I do have back, line of sight there, not particularly clearly, but I will go ahead and make an attack. Throwing my hatchet. God.
Oof.
It's a 2 for a 6.
Oof.
Also, it gets cover.
Yeah, a 6 will not hit your target.
I don't think that I'm helped then.
Well, it does knock the hit points off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I still reduce the damage you take. I just don't do any damage to it in turn.
Okay. Yeah.
As your hatchet clangs off of the side of the fountain and bounces back to you, unfortunately, the lizard is unperturbed and has one more action left. You might as well try. What else is it doing with its life? That is a 12 to hit Astraea, which I don't think is going to do it.
That will not do it.
Yay.
All right. And from there, we go to Celestine. Currently, you are dying.
Yeah, so what do? I've never actually done this before.
So died.
for this, check, yeah? Yes, it is a recovery check. So you roll a flat check. It's a DC 10 flat check, though you do take a penalty on it equal to your dying level.
So basically you need to roll an 11 or higher.
I roll a 2.
See, Jordan?
Well, I guess...
And now you're dying too.
I guess I need to smack myself.
You can choose to spend your hero points to... you lose the dying condition entirely and stabilize at 0 hit points. You don't gain the wounded condition or increase its value from losing the dying condition in this way. But if you already had that condition, you don't lose it or decrease its value.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to spend my hero point then and just, you know...
Okay.
Be not dying Stabilize. Anymore, basically.
Fair enough. So yeah, you can go ahead and do that. So you lose the dying condition. You do not get the wounded condition. You are still at 0 hit points and unconscious.
Okay. But I'm not dying.
That's important.
Yeah. We do not want you to die.
Yes. So basically, Celestine unconsciously forces her body to stop bleeding out. As she is basically a true hero, as we go from
she blearily comes to consciousness for a second, looks up at the beatific, almost angelic in this light, in the haze from blood loss of face of Amaranth, leaning over her, yelling something, and she's just like, he's so pretty. I need to live.
I must live.
The power of hot boys.
Yes.
Just then, like that, the hat pops up a little bit. The sugar glider head comes down and squeaks at you. You're like, it's so cute. I have to live now.
I'll take you with my 12 charisma.
Hey, that's above average. So
it
there
is
you
above
go.
Average.
I mean, Celestine likes Amaranth, but when she finds out he rushed in there and saved her life, she's going to be like... You know, aww. Teenage girl with heart eyes for the rest of this. You know? Oh my
God. I don't think Amaranth is ready for this.
That's true.
It's fair.
From Celestine, we go to Clove, who is also conscious at this point.
All right. Clove is going to stagger to her feet, so I'm standing up.
Nice.
You may wish to heal yourself first.
I mean, that'll take 10 minutes.
Oh, I thought you might. I thought you had, like, ointments or something because of your herbalist thing.
Oh, I do have that.
Because otherwise you're going to have to stop and pick up your weapon or pull another weapon and take a step. You're not... I don't know how you could attack
this round. I was
going to
pull a hatchet and throw it, was my thoughts.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want my temp hit points, though, is the problem. Can I throw from laying on the ground? I don't want to be laying on the ground.
Yeah.
No, that's a -4 penalty to your attack if you did, so...
Okay, I don't know if I can rage this turn, because I have to pull a weapon, and I need to throw a weapon. All right, Clove blearily gets to her feet, pulls her hatchet.
I mean, you could just rage and pull a weapon, but yeah.
Well, no, these things are bad, and they need to die. I'll rage next turn. And then she's just going to throw the hatchet at this lizard that's kind of right in front of her. The one that almost murdered her.
Fair enough. Go ahead and roll your attack roll.
I'm not as good with throwing things. I'm rolling garbage. I rolled a 5 for an 11.
An 11, as the hatchet twirls end over end, flying over the creature and striking the wall in the back. You just, even though these things have nearly shocked you to death, they are still so cute. You just can't bring yourself to attack them.
She just grumbles and stomps her feet.
You gotta need to rage.
Yeah. I'm raging next turn. I would have raged this turn, but I didn't have the action economy.
As we go to the other chakra lizard.
Oh, no.
Okay.
The creature unleashes another burst of electricity.
What?
This one, not as strong as the last one, though still searing with power.
That's really not good.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately. Let's loose with electricity. I will need a reflex save from both Clove and Grim.
Okay.
Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. Oh.
I have a hero point.
God dang it. Why?
So what happened to Clove is she rolled a 7 for a 13, and I thought, man, that's not high enough. I better use a hero point. And then I rolled a nat 1 for a 7.
Oh, what happened to Clove. You're going down again.
I probably would have been down regardless, but...
But yeah, you're yo-yoing.
I'm looking at a 13 for an 18.
All right. Well, for Clove, there is only bad news. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As unfortunately, a natural one is a critical failure.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm dying
three. You are dying three now.
Grim, the good news is you did save. So
the bad news is
that's
it's going to do so much damage, it's going to bring me down regardless.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter.
Wow, this has really gone south.
So that is 7 damage, which I believe Grim saves for half, which is 3, but I still think that's enough to...
That will still bring me down.
Yeah.
Oh, why wasn't I a cleric?
Yeah, I'm down.
Clove is unfortunately also down at the moment.
I would have
also
been down regardless,
dying,
I guess, even if I had drunk a potion or a elixir.
Yeah, unfortunately in this case. So let's see here. Grim also moves to just before the lizard. Clove is already there. Do you have any hero points remaining, Clove?
I sure don't.
That's unfortunate.
Yep.
Astraea, it is your turn.
Retreat?
I mean, if I see both of you guys go down, yeah, but I'm a halfling. I can only grab one of you.
Even if I were to go and grab the other person, the lizards will just pursue us.
We don't know that. They might just think this room is their territory and not chase. They're animals. It's not like they're the kobolds who would chase us down. We could get lucky if we get far enough away that they'll just leave us alone.
Well, I'm going to go run over. I don't think I have any way of dragging Grim out of there, but I might be able to get Clove.
Grim, how much bulk are you?
Mechanically speaking, you ignore the bulk of my gear. So we're both
we're the
exact
same
bulk.
Okay, so you'd still be 3 for me to yank you out.
Okay. The problem is I've got a 0 strength.
So you couldn't drag anybody without being encumbered.
I think you can stop the bleeding.
First aid still, I believe, requires healer's tools.
Yeah. The problem is the only two people that could do first aid are the two people that are down right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do any more healing because I only have the one lay on hands.
Well, even if encumbered, you can take someone 10 feet. So you could grab at the very least one of us and pull us out. If Amaranth has potions on him, he can use those.
Yeah, but we have to get out of here so I can.
Yeah, technically speaking, she could actually move one of us 15 feet because it would just be her speed minus 10, and she's got a 25 foot movement speed.
Mm.
Well, the only thing is that Amaranth and Celestine are blocking the dang hallway. I can't get 15 feet.
One thing, too, to keep in mind, just to let you all know, potions, to use them, requires an interact action. Mm-hmm. Technically, you can use a single interact action to feed a potion to another creature. They either have to be willing or so helpless that they can't resist. I think in this case, both Grim and Clo fulfill both conditions.
That's true.
You're both willing to drink these potions, and also you can't stop her anyway.
Yeah.
So just to let you know.
Well, and I think the problem we keep running into is it's the second shocker lizard.
Yeah.
And so our initiative's moved in front of that one, but there's still another shocker lizard that will go before we can even get back to our feet.
Mm-hmm. And it's the one that Estrella's facing off against, right?
Yeah, which may have already built up that partial charge like that other one just used on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could hit it with a spell and just hope to goodness I kill it, but...
If you can get Celestine back up, you need to get her back up.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Clove is dying 3, so...
There's no winning this fight.
Yeah, we got to get out of this fight.
Like, we have to retreat. That first round sealed the deal for us. It's been...
Yeah.
Estrella is going to run over to Clove, grab Clove's collar, because she's in the worst thick of it, and then hopefully Amaranth can grab Grim.
Who knew these little cute lizards would be the problem?
I did not realize they would do so much frickin' damage with the opening volley.
The main problem is that they both got to go basically simultaneously with each other. They had effectively the same point in the initiative. If they hadn't, there was actually a decent chance you could have perhaps, like, killed one of them before the other one even got to act. In which case, it's not anywhere near as dangerous.
Yeah, just nothing we can really do about that now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was just really unlucky with how that turned out. So Estrella then will stride.
Grab Clove and just pull her around the corner. I figure I'm using the corner of the wall as like leverage somehow.
Completely out of the room and into the hallway.
Yeah, and I figure she's like, Amaranth, grab Grim!
From Estrella, we go to Amaranth.
Conveniently, it is my turn. All right, I'll take a 5-foot step, grab Grim, and drag him out of the room also.
Very well.
I hate to say this also, but either you need to feed that potion to Clove now, because otherwise it's going to be Celestine who's unconscious, and then we see whether or not Jessica makes that roll or dies.
I will literally die if I fail this recovery check.
Feed a potion to Clove, and maybe they'll run after us instead of Grim because he's down.
Yeah, you could move Celestine another however many feet away. If they attack me, Grim is willing to sacrifice if it is necessary to save his friends. So if they attack me, they attack me.
Yeah, but we're hoping that we don't have to do that.
Hopefully you don't. But tactically speaking, Clove is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, there is the better part of a 60% chance that Clove is dead.
Yeah.
If you don't bring her back right now.
So I have to roll a 13. Or...
Yep, Amaranth will pull a minor healing potion, pour it down Clove's throat. You get back 3 whole hit points.
All right.
I'll take 3 whole hit points.
So you are now up to wounded 2, I believe.
Yep.
But you're no longer dying.
I did ask for this in the last episode, Ross, if you could give me my club back from Estrella.
You would have had to drop your club to pick up.
Oh, you're right.
Because you have to have both hands free.
Yeah, okay.
So your club's on the ground anyway.
Just drag Celestine.
You want me to drag Celestine over Grim? Okay.
You would have to step to get to me. You would have no action. You had to retrieve the potion and feed it.
You're right.
You still have a hand on her. Just finish dragging her.
Okay. All right, I will drag Celestine back, basically around the corner, I guess, from these lizards, 20 feet.
Yeah, because if you can get out of line of sight of them.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for, and then Celestine would come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Then if Grim lives through the next lizard, I think I can straight up pick Grim up.
Well, I don't think, you're not conscious, though, are you?
I'm conscious. I have 3 whole hit points, but I'm conscious.
Yeah, I was going to say, she is technically conscious and, what, dying 2 now?
No, I'm wounded two.
Or wounded 2, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No longer dying, because that's important. She couldn't be conscious if she was still dying.
It's true. But she is in the danger zone.
Yes.
Yes. She is very
all
much
in the danger zone. Play the song.
Danger zone.
All right. So Celestine goes along with Amaranth as we go to the shocker lizard. The first one is what it's going to do is it's going to move and begin to set up a charge, basically, as it will ready an action effectively to attack with its electricity.
Mm.
As we go to Celestine, who's unconscious, there's unfortunately not much you can do at this point. On the plus side, you don't have to roll another stabilization check, so
that is good. That was a well-spent hero point. I'm just going to lay here and die. Well, be unconscious, not die.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're not dying, actually. you're fine. Clove, it is your turn.
Clove is going to blearily drag herself to her feet, so step one, stand up.
Yep.
Can I grab Grim and then move away with Grim?
So you have to move to me and then grab me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that would be enough to get you there so you could be in the danger zone.
I mean, I can drag him in a second.
You go after the lizard. Oh, can I lasso him with a rope?
You'd have to pull the rope.
And tie a lasso. the rope as an attack roll.
Yeah.
And then reel me in. That's.
You can try to start. I mean, that's up to you.
Grim is unconscious.
Oh, I don't have enough actions. I freaking hate actions.
But Grim would want everyone to retreat. If you move next to me, the other one's going to go and then potentially unleash another electrical burst, which will just drop Clove again. It seems to be about 10-foot radius. You could try delaying and waiting to see if they're just going to electrocute me or whether or not now that you're out there that you get that they're going to get close enough to go ahead and blast the two of you also. Like, that's the concern.
Okay. Clove is going to pull one of her elixirs.
Okay.
That's what she has on her. I can't really do anything about what's happening with Grim, but I can take a 5-foot step around the corner to hide from the lizards. So I will do that.
All right, we go to Grim. You'll need to roll to stabilize unless you have a hero point and would like to use it. That is up to you.
No, unfortunately. So Grim, you know, just blearily looks over at these creatures. We'll go ahead and recover. I roll a 7, which I believe will fail by 4. As he sputters, blood just blearily looks around. Ragna.
No, don't start talking to dead family members. Somebody save Grim.
We're trying. I have a potion out. Estrella can grab it and take it to him, but this lizard goes first.
We go to the other lizard, unfortunately, Grim going to dying too at this point.
Yep.
The other lizard advances and will follow suit as they both ready actions, basically.
Good.
Estrella, it is your turn.
I hand you a potion in my hand. Please take it. Well, not potion. Elixir. Take it. Go over there. Feed it to Grim.
It's an action to take it, an action to move to me, an action to feed it to me.
And at that point, the explosions happen.
At that point, the shocker lizard is going to go before I can get up to my feet and move.
Yeah.
True.
I have to try.
Yep.
It's what Estrella would do. Estrella's going to run up, grab Grim,
very
and
well.
Pull with all her might.
So Estrella runs in.
Astra, is that you? You've gotten so tall.
Not so much. We'll talk later.
Jeez. The two shocker lizards readied actions both go off.
What?
That's what they were charged for.
They were guarding their kill, basically, just in case somebody decided to try to come back in.
All right.
They will both attempt to shock Estrella. The first one, the one to the right-hand side, will use their ranged attack, which actually does provoke an attack of opportunity from Estrella if you still
stab
have a weapon out.
Yep, I still have my...
You had to drop your weapon. You could kick him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could try to punch or kick.
I'll just do an unarmed attack then.
Sounds like
just
a plan.
Kick a lizard.
Go ahead and do the non-lethal
armed.
Damage.
I have hands. That is a 19 for a 20.
Get him!
Estrella's an ad.
That is a critical hit as you punch
the
lizard.
We are buddies.
Yeah. That is a critical. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Ooh.
That'll be 8 points of damage.
For 8 points, as the lizard recoils from the blow.
Fully sucker punctured legs.
Unfortunately, still standing.
Hit him in the face. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll take the attack after. That was a critical hit, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a critical hit.
That means that they actually need to make a flat check to see if they can still keep their action.
You dazed it.
Hey,
it's just
nice.
Like.
Come on, fail.
Okay.
Needs a 15 or higher.
Dang it.
Gets a 16.
It. 3 and it teetered.
Dang it.
That was close. All right. That's a 24 to hit Estrella. I don't think that's a critical on the plus side.
No, it's not a critical, thank goodness.
So that is...
Oh,
Jesus.
11 points of electricity damage.
I'm still
The other one will try their strike as well.
Miss.
That is a 19.
On the dot.
All right. For 8.
I am still up.
Oh my god.
Go girl.
How many hit points do you have? Oh my god.
One hit point.
One hit point. It's technically enough. You have an action remaining.
Yes.
After you grab all the Grim.
I'm going to pull him away as far as I can.
So he would get basically next to Celestine. He is still not looking good, but you've gotten him out of the line of fire.
Okay.
As we go to Amaranth.
Hey, hey.
Astraea, you got a hero point for that. My god.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy hell, well deserved. Jeez.
You deserve it.
Oh,
I think you deserve 2.
Oh my god.
I really.
I think you deserve 1 per attack
ballsy.
You took.
Yes. That was ballsy.
1 hit point, guys.
My god.
Amaranth, it is your turn. I don't know if you have any more of those magical delicious potions you keep.
Healer wizard, go.
Okay, so, yeah, I will, take a 5-foot step, pull my second lesser or minor healing potion.
Sorry, just to ask, Ross, just for clarification.
Yes.
I don't remember seeing, where was the rule that if a critical hit happens that, but I don't think that the attack is a manipulate action.
It wasn't a manipulate
action.
It does
not have a manipulate trait.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wouldn't have disrupted it at all.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry about that. That was my bad. I got caught up in the moment, and yeah.
It's moot. She still has 1 hit point left and deserves that hero point. But
yeah, right. My god.
Yeah. Don't take it from me.
So, yeah.
All right, so Amaranth takes a 5-foot step up next to Grim. Oh, look, there's a friend there. Pulls his second minor healing potion and shoves it down Grim's throat.
There we go.
Uncorks it first, and then shoves it down his throat.
Yes.
Eat the cork.
All right.
It is nice that it's...
God, I can't roll. You get 4 back.
Hey, it's better than better none. Than nothing.
He sputters. Torak! Like slams his fist in the ground, starting to pull himself up to his feet.
Just
I'm out, so
down.
That's it.
I don't know if they're going to follow, so just stay.
We go to
Run
the
away.
Shocker lizards
no.
who prepare attacks for people who come back as you see it ready.
We
also,
stay here
actually,
and shoot
technically,
them with arrows.
They both now go both.
Well, right. If we shot them, they would come and try to kill us.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Right
yeah.
now, I'm just saying in the future. Because my weapon's in there. I can't do anything.
Well, we'll come back when we're all fully healed. Good
yes.
gracious. Now that we know
yeah.
they're there, we can prepare
There's
some ranged attacks
we can
to stop them up.
Yeah,
we can go lock the barracks.
But yeah, the creature does ready in action for anybody who wants to try to step back
no.
in there and
no.
finish
no.
things.
No.
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 We have learned our lesson. Lizards can stay.
I think everybody is at the very least stable and or conscious now.
Yes. The only one who's actually unconscious is Celestine.
Yes. I'll actually give my elixir to Celestine so you can be conscious again because it's
very
well.
It doesn't
we
do
got
to
eat up first because you don't want to probably go against this opening or they may attack.
Yeah.
Let's retreat. That barracks sounds real nice. It's also very close.
Yeah. Celestine gets 3 whole hit points so she can stand up and walk.
Yeah.
I'm sure she just sort of blinks and looks up.
Everyone almost died.
Woo-wee. I didn't know lizards could be so dangerous.
How did I get in the hallway?
Amaranth
and what happened?
Shocker lizards, as you so rightly call them, detonated, for lack of a better term, knocking, you and Clove out. I then dragged you out. Grim got Clove back up. Clove went back down when one of the shocker lizards exploded, taking Grim down. Astraea
and I
pulled
Clove and
Grim
took us all out, is what he's trying to get to.
And he came
lizard
and got you.
Took us all out.
Oh.
It was really scary.
I think we should go and find somewhere to rest.
We need to take a moment to bandage ourselves.
Yes. Far from
me. A lot of moments.
Let's go back to the barracks.
Yeah, I think the barracks is the best spot.
Pulls herself up and then grabs Amaranth's hand as they walk down the hallway.
Amaranth does not resist.
Grim lays a large hand on Astraea's shoulder.
Ah, careful.
I'll take care of you when we get in there, but you are a true warrior and friend. Thank you.
Working on it. I'm just glad you're okay.
He nods, follows in there. We'll take a minute to bandage.
I also will bandage. Jesus.
Oh!
I was literally like, if Estrella goes down, I'm going to have to run in there, grab her, pull her out, and then
just
it's just
one wizard
it.
And so many melee
just,
characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, one wizard and a lot of unconscious bodies. Here we go.
One. If he had rolled any more.
Wow.
I was pretty accepting of Grim just having to stay there.
No,
but,
you never accept death.
Why do we say to death?
You're not a PC enough, Rick. Well, Rick doesn't play a PC enough. He's too used to accepting death as the GM.
That would have been a heroic death for Grim.
I'm too used to looking at this from a purely tactical standpoint and saying, how do I cut my losses? And
nope. Don't give up, and you try no matter what.
Welcome to the world of a bunch of young kids running around with the only tactical one being unconscious.
We think we are invincible, and now we're just... reinforced of that because somehow we survived.
All right, so much healing has to... Oh, y'all still have timers on you, so I guess I'll start with myself.
Yeah, I'll heal myself.
The first thing that Estrella is doing is barring these doors.
Yeah, yes, please.
That sounds appropriate.
Lock both the doors and then drag a couple of the beds over in front of each of the doors.
You can absolutely do that. I'll say that takes about 5 minutes.
Might take 10, considering how beat up we are.
You know, the sad thing, Amaranth didn't take any damage. So good. Amaranth, at least, is at almost full hit points.
He's playing nursemaid to all of us right now.
<It's true.
laughs> But he's showing some favoritism toward the half-elf.
And Clove at some point walks up to Estrella and goes, what is it with people from Falcon's Hollow picking really bad date spots?
We're not counting this as our first date. That's
it. They're holding hands. That's a date, right?
I don't know. I've never been on a date.
I mean, me neither. That's what I think a date is.
People hold hands and then babies come.
Okay, I understand how babies are.
I don't know. Some of the books are like that.
I really miss my sword.
Well, unfortunately, I believe the machete, Grimm's hatchet, and
my club.
And my short sword.
And the short sword.
My shield, technically, also, because the only shield that is specifically strapped to your arm is the buckler. So my shield is back there also.
So we're going to have to go face these lizards again because
it's the only way forward.
Yeah, so Grim bandages himself up.
The wounded goes away when you treat yourself mundanely, so I guess there's that.
God, looking at y'all, like, everybody is in, like, the red except for Amaranth, who's actually fine.
But he also...
resisting the urge to go use his range superiority on those lizards. Great.
Yeah, they would rush you and probably kill you.
Oh, easily, easily in one round, yeah.
The one problem with resting up for the night, it means those lizards are also going to rest for the night and regain hit points.
Yep.
We don't have to rest for the whole night, we just need to rest
the
until
the good news is we know they're
healed.
There, so we won't go blindly into the room, right?
Grim will bandage himself, make his way over to Estrella once he's done bandaging himself.
How you doing?
Feeling my age. I wanted to thank you for pulling me out back there. It was all blurry, but I remember small but strong hands, which I'm sure were yours.
I was about to leave you. Couldn't do it.
Grim will sit down on the bed next to you. He'll pull out his clan dagger and lays a hand on the sash that he wears across his chest.
Do you know much of the dwarven people?
Honestly, only what I learned from you on the travels. They don't exactly cover dwarven history in the lumber consortium schools that have been put up.
A horrible oversight, but...
But, you know, I ended up working pretty soon, so I didn't get very far.
Well, he places a hand on his sash. This is something we dwarves, those of mountain dwarves, call a glory ribbon. It's my clan colors, sapphire blue for my clan gem, and silver for the silver mines that the Ansvar once worked. It is an extraordinarily personal item. He kind of runs his fingers over a variety of other colors that are mixed into it. When a dwarf dies, you take some of your companion's sash, or when they owe you a great debt. The blue and green here, he places a hand on it, was my grandfather's, Volgrim. The blue and silver sashes here and here were for my parents. The red and black was Reagan, who I lost when we fought the Duergar in the Candlestone Caverns. And the blue and red was my wife's and my son.
I'm sorry.
He takes his knife and slices part of the bottom of this off.
Oh, you said that's really personal.
It is, and I would be dead if not for you.
I would ask two things. He takes it, and if you don't stop him, just kind of wraps it around like a little wrist wrap. I owe you a great debt, and any of Clan Ansvar that sees that will know that you are a dwarf friend.
I'm honored. Thank you so much.
And I would ask that if I should fall, that you would take another 3 slices from this and give 1 to each of my companions here and return my sash to my family.
I'd consider it done.
He slides his clan dagger back away. But between you and me, I hope I don't die down here. He kind of pats you on the shoulder. He stands up.
Doing my best to keep that from happening.
You have been doing a phenomenal job.
Figure Stray kind of gives him a big smile and then probably just like falls backward on the bed because she's exhausted.
I'm going to start bandaging your wounds now, but I'm going to take a moment to pray first, and I'm going to rotate between bandaging wounds and praying to, I think considering that last fight, I'm going to ask every god that I pray to help us make our way back.
Do any of them in particular hate lizards? Celestine coughs from the other bed.
What she said.
Okay, so I'll try to bandage up Astraea. Grim really feels like he owes her right now.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think you would have been slowly nibbled on if it wasn't for me.
Ooh, I feel like I owe you so much that I roll a perfect 20 for a critical heal.
You guys tell the story.
And heal you up for 18.
There you go.
I feel much better.
Well, I just regular succeeded with a 20, but...
Hey, you know what? Considering we've been struggling with getting those, yes.
He pulls out like a small thing of whiskey, basically. It's just like... I've been saving the good stuff for the pain. He hands it over.
We're just getting drunk together.
And we're all like, this is not the time for drinking.
Shut your mouth.
Celestine would be sitting on one of the beds while Clove pokes at her wounds.
And Clove is like, is this your first date with Amaranth?
Amaranth, meanwhile, sits on a separate bed, flipping through his spell book and muttering to himself real quickly.
No.
Okay, because I thought it was weird, and also, like, we're all here, so it's like, you have an entourage on your date. Which I guess is safer.
No, it was just a sign of affection. I don't even know if he likes me that way. She says quietly, because this room is small.
Yeah. Actually, this room is quite large.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all like in the same like 15 feet because we're all almost dead.
I'm sure we like moved to like at least 5 of the beds to one
Amaranth
corner.
Is
yeah,
fully focused on reading his book or whatever weirdness he's doing over
there. I have to
focus
for 10 minutes to do what I want to do.
And so I lower my voice a little bit, but I'm like, yeah, but like he like ran toward the scary lizard and like heroically carried you out of the room.
Yeah, but didn't Astraea do the same thing for Grimm?
But Astraea's strong?
Oh, it was heroic because I'm a weak wizard. Well, no hero points for me, by the way.
Celestine probably giggles at that.
He had to be braver because he would have been more hurt. And Astraea, you know what I mean. And she's like fully red in the face.
Well, so Astraea's hardier, not necessarily stronger.
Yeah, no, she's braver. She's... used to getting stabbed? I don't know.
I mean, I like him, but I'm not going to ask him out on a date while we're all about to, while we almost died.
Okay. Just, you know, what if we, I don't know. I don't know anything about dating.
However, Jordan does bring up a fair point. I think I will give Amaranth a hero point as well.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody recognizes my contribution.
Well, you also healed up
Celestine
extremely and I think Grimm, so...
True.
I will say that was, that was pretty
just
good.
Wait, I got plans.
Oh god. So I guess we'll see.
Okay. Well, if he's mean to you, I'll hit him. I'll get mad though.
But from there, I believe,
I still need so much more healing.
We all do. Yeah. Yeah, essentially we're gonna hang out here till we're healed.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Amaranth, first off, only needed 10 minutes to substitute one of his first level spells using his spell substitution thesis. Closes the book, puts a hand on Celestine as he passes. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I think. My insides seem to be where they should be.
I give you a thumbs up.
Excellent. I'm going to see about retrieving our equipment.
What?
Magic fixes everything.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that that's wise at all. I think you can see about retrieving the equipment once we're all ready to go in there in case they see, I'm going to assume you're either teleporting or floating an item out of the room and decide to pursue it or bite onto it or surf my shield all the way back to us and electric us.
That'd be
pretty awesome, actually.
It would be pretty awesome. Well, no, but I figured it would be worth a shot considering we're going to be staying here for an extended period to at least attempt to recover some of the equipment.
What are you going to try to do?
Oh, a very simple spell. I'm going to summon an unseen servant, have it go over and retrieve our equipment as much as it can.
Huh.
Okay.
Might work.
That's actually pretty smart.
It is unseen.
I'll go stand in the hallway with him, and if we scream, it's bad.
No, can't you send it from here? You don't even have to leave the room. You could just send it?
The only problem that I would see coming with this is they have an intelligence of -5. They have plant-level intelligence, kind of like in first edition where an unseen servant can only do directly what you tell it to do. So while it can understand your language, I wouldn't necessarily... It's difficult to justify that it would understand... walk 70 feet down this hallway, turn left, go into that room, and pick up the shield. Because I don't think that they would know what a shield is.
Pick up anything that's not moving.
Yeah, I mean, because I can tell it, I don't even have to summon it here. I could go out the bottom door and up and then, you know, tell it, hey, go forward until you see an item, pick it up and give it back to me. Have it do that a number of times until the things start, you know, going after it, and then I can run.
Yeah. I mean, you can make an argument that if you show it an object or even explain it, or heck, even if you wait until we've rested enough, if we can go down and like hide behind the statue right where we first came in, that you can point down there and go go to there and retrieve
everything that's not a lizard.
Comes back carrying a lizard.
Everything yeah, that's well, not so it specifically says in the description for an unseen servant, it has the quality force body. An unseen servant's physical body is made of force. It can't use attack actions. It can move and use interact actions to do things such as fetch objects.
Yes.
Open, unstuck, or unlock doors, hold chairs, and clean.
Yes.
So yeah, I can tell it to go fetch objects and it will go fetch objects.
Yeah, you know? I think you couldn't necessarily tell it, like, you could tell it, like, get the machete, but it's just going to get the first thing it probably comes across.
Exactly.
Because
yeah,
it'll fetch
not,
objects.
It's not smart,
again, it's that thing of, but, like, telling it to fetch. It's kind of like telling a dog to fetch. It's if you can point at something and say fetch, they'll probably get a general idea, go in and retrieve it. But they're not specifically mindless, which is what they were in first edition.
Yeah, because it does say for language, it does say understands its creator, which if it's mindless, it wouldn't actually be able to understand.
Yeah.
Oh, it also has a resistance to all damage 5, so except for force and ghost touch. So if it does electrocute, at least it takes 5 off.
Well, we'll do that once everybody's done being healed.
Very well. As it approaches after 10 o'clock at night, y'all spend basically about 3 hours, I believe, healing up over the course
it was
of
a rough
that
fight.
Time.
It was.
Celestine might have caught a nap.
That's fair. just a bit of beauty sleep there, you know? Not bad.
All right. Lizards part 2?
Electric Boogaloo?
Oh, pardon me, I made that joke. I didn't realize we were going to be doing the fight with them twice.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I guess we'll do the invisible servant thing to
that seems
get
fun.
Our
Let's do it.
Weapons I mean, back.
Might as well try.
Yeah, because there's not another way in there.
No. I mean, technically, there does seem to... There was a door on the opposite side, but you have no idea how to get to that area. There doesn't
yeah,
seem
the only
to
way
be
is
anything.
Through, so there's not another way past.
Not unless we missed a secret door somewhere.
Who knows?
I'm going to be anticipating us now.
Okay, so here's my plan. So, first off, I want to see them coming. So, I need to be able to see... Well, actually...
What if we circle to the south and then go back into the first chamber that we came in?
Yeah, and throw a coin in the intersection here, and that way we can see if they start coming out.
I don't know if they're going to respond to a coin.
No, that's the idea. So we can see them. If they start coming out, we can start shooting them and or running.
Oh, so put light over there.
Yeah, to put a light spell on the coin and throw it over there.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I sometimes forget that everyone else can't just see them like I can.
No, we can't see them.
Nope, we can't see in the dark.
Some of us have to work for the money. All right, so I will take off my light spell, put it on... What have I got on my change pouch here?
Grim's going to draw his short bow. And
yep. Anybody need a ranged weapon? Because I do have a crossbow.
I can't use a ranged weapon because I have the Infinity Gauntlet right now.
Yes, Thanos here. Sadly, no gems in it.
I will take out my short bow just in case.
If we're hanging back for the moment, Grim will turn around and hand 2 hatchets over to you if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
They're one-handed throwing weapons.
Okay. And then Astraea, you have a ranged weapon?
Yeah, I got a bow.
Okay, cool. All right, Amaranth takes a copper piece, casts the light cantrip on it, taking it off of himself, and I'm going to chuck it.
All right, yeah, go ahead and make a ranged attack with a, let's say, -6, but I'm going to, I mean, the DC is going to be low. You're trying to hit the floor. So
let's see, -6, roll a 9, so.
Yep, yeah, you're able to get to the point that you want to. That's fine. As you flick your coin down the passageway, light shines into the area in front of you.
I can see them.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
So they don't seem to immediately go towards you. This isn't like Hitman where they go to, you know, pick up the coin.
I was
going to
say that it makes a sound and they have to walk over so that I can sneak up behind them.
Well, and yes. Grimm's been able to see them this whole time, which means that they probably also have dark vision. So they've been able to see us this whole time. They're just waiting to see what we're going to do.
Yeah, because they're like, this is our house. Don't come in our house.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to cast Unseen Servant. That's a 3-action cast, and then I sustain it. And apparently there's no time limit once
it's sustained. No, not as long as you're sustaining the spell.
Yep. I summon the Unseen Servant. I'm going to tell it, go to the end of this hall, retrieve any object that is not living, and return it to here.
All right. So, of course, you cannot necessarily see the force, but a creature or some sort of facsimile thereof, you know, appears within the range of the spell, and though you cannot see it do so, it trundles off in the direction that you pointed out.
We're just going to see our stuff just come floating back to us.
The creature picks up a machete first and begins moving back with it. As the creatures look on, they seem to begin to charge electricity, though they don't actually make any attacks at this point. As a machete goes floating back over to all of you.
My machete! I hug it.
The machete has been returned to you.
All right, I'll keep sustaining the spell, so.
Very well. So now the force trundles off again.
Celestine just kind of bounces on the balls of her feet, anticipating doom.
All right, picks up Grimm's shield. As the creatures at this point both take some exploratory shocks in the direction of the shield. Fortuitously, the shocks are non-lethal in this case, as they're using one of their baseline abilities. And objects are immune to non-lethal damage.
Where was this passive non-lethal stuff when we were fighting?
Right?
As the creature walks back, Grim, you have your shield back.
All right, I'll take it. Keep my bow out at the moment, but sling it over my shoulder.
And next, moves forward, grabs the short sword. As it's holding the short sword, it starts to move back. As this time, the lizards unleash a much more powerful burst. I'll allow a reflex save from the summoned creature then.
It rolls poorly. That's a 6 for a 10.
Oof. All right. Unfortunately, the creature is not able to get the object out of the way. Fortunately for the creature, or fortunately for your unseen servant, this is not a magical effect. The object does take a small amount of damage, but is still serviceable as the unseen servant brings it back. The short sword has been retrieved. There are still, I believe, the magical hatchet and the club.
Oh, yeah. Celestine will keep a hold on these hatchets because they're able to be thrown and sheath the short sword for now.
All right. So send the servant back out.
Yep. Still sustaining.
All right. Gets the club. The lizards let out with one of their bursts again. I will need a reflex save from your unseen servant.
It rolls a 10 for a 14.
All right. A 14 unfortunately does not pass. This object is made out of wood, which means it has 5.
Are they going to destroy Amaranth's walking stick?
Poor Amaranth walking stick.
Heaven forbid I have to walk outside and grab a new one.
Fair.
If something's going to get destroyed, it being my club is fine.
Your club is broken, but it is not destroyed.
Hey,
there's taking enough hit point damage to be broken.
I don't know how a stick gets, I guess
it's
maybe.
Very
I don't
badly
know,
it's burned.
Yeah.
That being said, if you want me to still reinforce your stick, I do have a repair kit.
And with the last one, I guess you send the servant once more into the breach.
Their tiny lizard brains think there's a god in the room with them.
Maybe. All right, they let through the last one last shock with their electricity. Still not going for their full blast because you do remember what their full blast is like.
Yeah, Celestine's real familiar.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
So, one last reflex save.
That is a 9 for a 13.
Let's see here. This is, again, I think, primarily going to be a steel object, so hardness of 9. A 13 does not succeed. Grim, your hatchet takes some damage, but is still serviceable.
How much is some?
4 points of damage.
Okay.
So presumably a single repair check should be all you need. You seem to have gotten back everything. The lizards aren't pursuing you.
Ah, okay.
Excellent.
Do we want to shoot at them from afar?
I mean, we could. I'm not particularly skilled with this bow, but we have to get back through that passage.
Yes, well, I'm not charging in.
No, I would advise we keep at range if possible.
Let's shoot them from afar.
I mean, they can come at us, guys.
We can also move, though.
True.
Maybe if they get separated a bit, they won't be able to murder us.
Amaranth, do you have any magic that could protect us from electricity?
That's a great question. With my first level spells, no.
No. Didn't figure it hurt to ask. All right, then. I say we fan out some for those of us that can still see up ahead. And then, if I'm being honest, like, my attack bonus with my short bow is not good. But Grim will step up into the breach and go ahead and sheathe that bow, pull out his hand axe.
I mean, I'll shoot from here until they get closer.
Sounds like y'all are about to launch a ranged assault.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very well. You ready? Grim readies his shield. Clove readies her bow.
Celestine looks very grumpy at the hand of Droskar because she's actually pretty good with her bow, but she can't use it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stupid.
We could get some people in these, like the side passages.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we not try to, like, maybe
sneak attack them?
Flank them? Like, Velociraptor style?
You guys could try to sneak around, hide on the sides.
The problem is that to do that sneak attack, you would have to be, well, unless the thought is to try to separate them to get one of them to go in either direction.
Yeah, if we separate them, they're less dangerous.
Because then they can't do their chargey charge attack.
I mean, they were plenty dangerous all by themselves, too, so.
Yeah, but they weren't doing a million D8 damage or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, we could try that route. You could try ready in action and attacking them from the side. Yeah, Grim would be fine circling around to the side and just ready in action to throw his hand axe when one of them goes past.
Celestine might do the same thing because the range on these hand axes is not the best.
Okay, no. Well, I can stay back here with Amaranth.
Yeah, because I can... I have magic missile, so I can at least hit them.
I mean, because I can... I'm decent with a bow.
Well, then Grim and Celestine fan out into the cross of the hallway, getting ready to lay down some crossfire while, I suppose, Clove gets ready with her first shot, Amaranth readies his spells, Straya gets ready with her bow as well. And we'll see how that goes next time.
Oh, man.
Yes. If we're thwarted by lizards
we
once
made
again.
0 feet of progress.
Yeah. That was a tough fight. These
that
things
fight
can punch
cool.
way
insane.
Above their weight.
That was insane.
That was nuts.
Unexpected is what that was.
Well, it wasn't expected that Jessica would critically fail.
Two crit fails?
Yeah.
You know, me failing isn't necessarily a surprise because Grim only has a reflex save modifier of 5. But our rogue also felling a reflex save was bad.
I almost used a hero point. I don't know if that would have helped us in the long run because even taking half damage, that was so much damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took two crit fail. Two crit fails worth of damage from them.
I know, that
but
was
everybody
nuts.
Survived.
Yeah, somehow.
Yep.
By
and
the
you
that
know,
is
you
true.
Know,
that
skin
that
of our
we
teeth,
survived.
We survived. I think it's the patrons doing the spirit bomb like we're Goku.
It was all the patrons. It's all their fault that we lived, and we appreciate
it. Yes, your Kamehameha saved the day.
We truly do appreciate all of your support and help, patrons. Without you, we absolutely could not be doing this. And thank you so much for listening to us. I hope you all actually did enjoy getting a chance to... The one cool thing I think about combats like that is being able to recover afterwards, getting to know some of your fellow adventurers just a little better, you know?
I thought you were going to say you got to learn more about death and dying rules.
Well,
I mean, that too. That is true. We had some unique moments there for sure. But, thank you all again for supporting us. We truly do appreciate it.
Yeah.
But, until next time, Pathfolk, good luck out there. We'll see you
avoid
later.
Avoid electric lizards.
God
yes.
darn it.
And lightning lizards.
Absolutely. That was
don't
rough.
Try yelling
I was
at them.
Really
it doesn't
concerned
work.
There.
Oh, great. You opened with that.